Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name today. It's good to be with you again this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come before you again this morning. I want to praise you for your blessings, praise you for all the wonderful things, Lord, that you have done for us and continue to do for us. Lord, help us to in some small way, as we give our lives to you, Lord, not that we can ever repay you, but just give ourselves back to you and in showing our appreciation and our love for you. Just be with us in this service, we pray. Be with your people throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I missed being here Easter Sunday, and that was really a sort of a big deal for me. One of my favorite times of the year is Easter, and one of my favorite mornings of the year is when I get to hear the Easter caroling first thing in the morning. That is just a huge blessing, and I really missed that. And so maybe that's one reason why I'm having a little bit of a hard time letting go of Easter. But another thing, I think Easter is such a precious time to us to think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means for us as Christians. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, not about Christ's resurrection, but about I'd like to read from a passage in the New Testament this morning. So many things. It seems like when we're running in all different directions, it's hard for us, or hard for me, I should say, to get back to the basics sometimes. And this passage in John 3 is one that we all know as being the seminal scripture of the Bible. We talk with John 3:16. We learn it very, very early. And yet it's interesting that we hardly ever read out of it in church because we all know what it says, right? And so I'd like to look at John 3 this morning, verses 1 through 21. Don't forget our roots. Don't forget. Speaking of forgetting, there's sometimes something on my mind that I want to say and say to a specific person, and it seems like we never can connect. And this morning I'd like to thank Mary Miller for a delicious birthday cake that she made me a month ago, and I've been trying to meet up with her ever since, and I seem like keep on missing each other. Delicious birthday cake. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciated that. Really enjoy being part of this church, and it's just a blessing. The funny thing about working memory and memories, there are things that we say that we know, and we know them very well even. And yet sometimes when the pressure's on and need to have something, you need to have an answer, or you're looking for options, what you knew doesn't necessarily come to mind. And then after you left, you say, well, I should have said that. Why didn't I say that? Or why didn't that solution occur to me? Well, it's because it wasn't in working memory. And for something to be in our working memory to where it's available to us when we need it, we have to look at it again and again so that it's there ready to be picked up. And that's actually something that's proved in neurological science, is that if you want to have something in your mind ready to be used, it needs to be in working memory, which means you need to be reminded of it often. Before we read John 3, I'd like to look at Hebrews 6, just two verses here in Hebrews 6, where it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Is that what we want to do? We want to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ so that we can go on to perfection? What is he saying? I think we can all agree he's not saying that we leave Christ. We don't put that away. It's just that's the foundation for other things that we go on to. But it's essential that remains in our working memory, that remains integral to what we do. It's foundational. And I think I'm enjoying the study of Samson in Sunday school. And I think this is what happens when a man gets away from his roots. He gets away from what really was his foundation. And when Samson began to think of himself as a source of power, I'm the strong man. I'm the one who is invincible. No matter what anybody throws at me, I can handle it. And he began to move away from God, that he left those foundations. And one day, he found himself helpless. And as we study, as the things that we do, Make sure that we never move past our foundation. Never build on our own strength. Never build on the foundation of our own intellect. But that we always build on the foundation of Christ and yet continue to grow. Okay, so normally what I do, or what I often do, is I study by subject. And I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to just read this passage, and we'll make comments as we go, as we look at this story. Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And you know, he's right. He's exactly right. And, you know, Nicodemus came from a long line of people who were scholars. And they knew the Bible, quite frankly, far better than most of us do, probably than any of us do. They knew it backwards and forwards. They knew the meanings of the words. They knew the sub-meanings and all the implications. This is what they did. And so he's got this right, but he's trying to figure Jesus out. And so he's got an intelligent question for Jesus, and he thinks if I ask the right question, Jesus will give me an answer, and this will all come clear to me. So he asks these questions, and then Jesus says to him, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that's the mystery of God and man, isn't it? And it's something maybe that it's indefinable. And yet when we see it, we know it when we see it. You know, there's a person that we can say, that she has the Spirit of God, and we know it when it's there. And yet you say, what is it about her? Well, it's just everything. You know, that when God permeates our existence, it's visible. Or the effects are visible, although maybe you can't see it itself. As Christ says, the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. You can't see the wind. So how does that happen? I think that's one of the great mysteries of eternity, is how God comes to dwell in people. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witnesses. Christ is speaking of himself here. We speak that we do know, testify that we have seen. And this is an essential part of receiving the new birth, is accepting the fact that what Jesus said, he knew what he was talking about. He was speaking from personal experience. He knows what he's talking about. And so many times we try to deal in theories, and we've got ideas, and we try to extrapolate on those ideas. And we just need to take God at his word, take Christ at his word. That's what he's saying here. I know what I'm talking about. Just listen to me. That's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to just give up and let Christ and follow Christ. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Knowledge flows from God, doesn't come from us. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And even here, at the beginning of Christ's ministry, you see the shadow of the cross, Christ pointing toward that time when he's going to be offered as a sacrifice. And the new birth, the possibility of the new birth truly made real for man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think if we could grasp the reality of God and the puniness of ourselves, it would be more than we could handle, quite frankly. It's just one of those things that is beyond our comprehension, that God would love us. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you know, if you take this belief not as a merely intellectual thing, but as something that, as I said before, we give up. We say, I don't have the answers, and we go to Christ for the answers. We believe he's got the answers, and we are willing to do whatever he says. That's belief, when belief is matched by action. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those who have been born again are children of light, transparent, open, caring, loving. They're people who have given up of themselves and have truly given themselves to Christ. And on this beautiful spring day, in this beautiful time of the year, are we going to allow Christ's new life to live in us? Are we going to keep on struggling on our own, try to make things right? We've got these problems in our lives, and we want to work on them. And maybe we've got even doctrinal questions and things that bother us. And we roll these things around and around in our head. Are we willing to believe Christ when he says, I've got the answers. Just allow me into your life and I can change you. Let's kneel for prayer.